Hey, everybody, we're back with another commission podcast, this one by one of our fans, Julie Webster, who had the audacity and the brilliance to commission the 2007 horror slash social commentary slash psychological thriller slash
farce
female empowerment mythology called Teeth. And if you're not familiar with the concept of the movie... There's a myth. I'm not even sure what part of the world it's from. But there's a myth called the vagina dentata.
Yeah, means no worries for the rest of your days.
Yep, no penis for the rest of your days. It's about a woman that has a set of chompers up her hoo ha, and
God, this is gonna be a mature cast. Here we go.
Oh, so if I say she's got molars and incisors in her vagina, her vaginal barrel,
a little more clinical, yeah, technical.
So yeah, she's got teeth in her vagina, and she can tear a dick off if it's not supposed to be up in there,
or fingers, or
that's the thing. It's like
up there.
It's one of those weird things. Like, yes, it's kind of. It's there's so many interesting things about this movie, and I love this movie. Thank you very much, Julie, for commissioning it. It's directed and written by Mitchell Lichtenstein, mm-hmm. or maybe Lichtenstein.
Or Lichtenstein.
Is that it?
It's or Stein.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It sounds like the country that Dr. Doom rules over, is all I know. So you're cool with me, Mitchell. And the main actor is Jess Wexler, who you said was 26, because I was like, this girl looks like she's in the 15 to 16-year-old range, and she's very naked in some of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought she was great. She was really, really versatile, and I think this movie is kind of silly in places, and is also very funny. But it would just be a farce. It would just be like a trauma level bullshit exploitative farce if it didn't have the right actor.
Yeah,
grounding it
weren't as well made. I mean, it comes from Lionsgate Studios made this film. Distributed by Dimension Extreme Films, which is like a DVD distribution label that Dimension made to kind of promote these really weird, shocking horror movies.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much everything released under it is unrated.
Yeah.
I had seen this movie before back in the day. I don't remember why I watched it. I think what I was doing is watching some of those Dimension Extreme films.
Yeah,
because I'm a horror fan. I'm a gore fan.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of right up my alley.
You're a gore fan.
I get both. Yeah, all of the above. So I'd seen this before, but I didn't really remember much of it.
Clearly, because you promised me an actual fanged vagina, and I'm like, really? Because
maybe it was my mental image that I had formed.
there's some interesting sly commentary. You know, this is something we've remarked on a Bald Move before. That it's very rare to see a male penis.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember seeing an erect male penis not in a porn context, and it's super uber duper rare to see like the cleft of a woman's vagina. You can have full frontal nudity, but don't show what's going on between the legs. Like,
sure.
And the film kind of
angle.
Addresses that in this shitty sex ed class that these kids are attending. They go in detail about the male anatomy. But then there's literally a giant censored sticker over the vagina, the corresponding vaginal illustration.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you just can't, and she, the hero of the story is Jess Wexler, who's, I think her character's Dawn.
Yeah.
She pipes in with like, well, us women are now more natural. She's supporting essentially... I don't know. Like she's. I don't even know where to begin.
Eyes hard enough at the beginning of this movie, man.
She's in this promise organization, which is one of those put on a ring, a purity ring, uh-huh. and make sure you save your most precious gift and your purity for the. Do you want to just give that away to anyone, or do you want? And I'm like, I don't.
To be clear, talking about virginity, saving it for marriage.
Yes, if you want, if a person wants to be a virgin for whatever reason, that's. I don't have a problem with that.
Sure.
What I have a problem with is the conflation of virginity and purity and goodness and wholesomeness.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what, if you're just not comfortable with sex, you're not ready for it emotionally or physically or whatever, fine. But if you've got this artificial stigma that you think that this is somehow
yeah,
you know, dirty or degrading or like,
and taking something that literally everyone experiences,
sure,
and is completely natural and turning it into some kind of abomination, right, and something to be thwarted.
Yeah,
if that's your personal choice, I get it. Mm-hmm. But don't make it out like it's a bad thing. And it's ridiculous because the sex ed teacher can't even bring himself to say vagina.
Right.
He can't even fucking say it. And it's like between the promise ring shit, bad sex education, I just want to blow my brains out at the beginning of this movie.
And the thing is like it would be easier to swallow and make me less comfortable if this was a broad parody. But there are actually people who espouse who are that uncomfortable with the female anatomy and, you know, who espouse these views and are very, you know, loud and vociferous and politically active that really makes me uncomfortable. Like, it'd be one thing if this is just ha-ha, so over the top, kind of True Blood, you know, hyperbole bullshit. But it's this stuff is really, really goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found it especially true to life when he's like, oh, the Board of Education said we couldn't show this thing and we had to put a sticker over it.
Sure.
It's like, yeah, that sounds about right. Were these textbooks made in Texas? Probably so.
or Arkansas. Arkansas
is that the other place?
Or Nebraska. I don't know.
A lot of them come out of Texas. I know that.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of socio-political economic reasons for that.
Sure. Sure.
But I don't know. This movie was super clever and funny. Like, even the title sequence where you had these... I mean, it's an inversion of, like, you know, these women as a victim and they're being preyed upon by these mm-hmm. predators, these male predators. And even at the biological level, she grew up in the shadow of a nuclear facility.
She's a mutant.
She's a mutant.
She's going to start the X-Men at the end of this movie,
like,
I think.
She's like this evolution, like, you know...
The X-Women.
And that's another thing. Like, you remarked, there are no good men in this film.
Her dad. That's her dad, about but the I, only I one I can tell you what, for,
when
but...
he started getting handsy at the hospital, I'm like... Because this movie had taught me...
Yeah, you can be forgiven that for
that. Any man,
sure.
And I thought that was kind of an interesting subversive thing, because you're mm-hmm. like, oh, there's no good men in this movie. And I'm like, you know what? Like, if you think about this from, like, a Color Purple perspective, there are women, and statistically, they're not vanishingly rare women whose formative experiences with men, you know, if you've got rapists that are your uncles or cousins or brothers or fathers or stepfathers, or close family friends or school teachers, you could have your formative experiences with men be this, and like, how would that fuck up your worldview?
Sure, sure.
Or is it your worldview fucked up, or is it the world that's fucked up?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you experience those things, I don't know that your worldview is fucked up if you think like that. But yeah, I mean, it irks me a little bit that every single man in this, top to bottom, uh-huh. is portrayed as just the most lecherous, rapey possible kind of guy. But
it's not, that's the thing, it's not implausible.
Yeah, I get that. I get what they're trying to do. And I don't think that's kind of the thing that they want to say about men.
Sure, not all men are rapists.
Yeah, yeah. I think they just want to make the point that this is not an uncommon experience for women.
Yeah, like every single time that she was sexually assaulted, which is frequently.
Yeah.
I'm like,
every time she was
I'm
in
like,
a scenario.
This, if I read this in a news, like, I'm sure this exact situation, like, especially like the first time where the guy who pretended to be kind of on her wavelength and just up and decided to rape her because he hadn't even jerked off for like 6 months. Like, come on, what are you doing, Dawn? Like, that happens every day.
Yeah.
The other man who seduces her and arguably maybe
doses
even drugs her.
Uh-huh. Yep.
A little Bill Cosby action going on.
I mean, pills
that happens
and alcohol.
Fucking every day.
That happens every day.
Not
yes.
Gynecologist raping you. I don't know how
don't
often
know
that happens,
that,
but I know it's happened because I've read the news articles. And that's why it's like, by the time this movie got to where she's at the hospital, her mom just died and her stepfather's comforting her, my alarm bells were going off. I'm like, is he getting too handsy with her? Like, I guess that's loving father behavior, but... And that's like started making me think about women to get molested by the fathers. And like, when does, you know, as if you're a young girl, when do you start to go to your mom and like, this doesn't make me feel good because that's how grooming works. And like, God, this movie's fucking with me, man. Which
I think it is
an effective horror movie.
I think it's meant to fuck with you, especially as a guy watching it, because you look at like the brother. The brother is a weird case, right? Because like.
Because I was defending him in early going. I'm like, what? He shoots BB guns in his room. I used to shoot BB guns in my room. What is?
He's a complete asshole.
No, yeah, he's the worst.
He's the worst, but he's also like one of the more innocent of all of these people. Like he treats his not girlfriend horribly, but he has a lot of complicated reasons for that. And he doesn't actually try to take advantage of her, right? Like he's done everything he can to resist it.
I don't know.
Until
I mean,
she
the movie
goes
opens
in
with him trying to penetrate her with his fingers.
He's like what, 6 years old? He has no fucking clue what he's doing.
Yeah,
it's hard to blame a very young child for something like that.
I don't blame him, but I'm like, there's like maybe he was inappropriate.
I'm not saying he's completely innocent here.
Okay,
I'm saying of the people, he's the least rapey. Like she comes in and seduces him at the end of that, payback, I guess, for when they were young kids.
As payback for what? The fact that he got the tip of his finger bit off for trying to penetrate her?
Well, molesting her, yeah. And also, I think she at some point just gets fed up with the way he's treating his girlfriend and their
mom. That's what she tries to come in and talk to him and like be, and he comes on to her. So it's like, I don't know if he's rapey, but he's certainly, and I don't even like the word rapey, but I know what you're saying. I'm saying like, I don't know that I can say that he was totally innocent.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah,
no, I'm saying there's a spectrum here, and he's kind of down near the bottom of it, like as opposed to the promise ring guy, like, who's just going to out rape her, the drug raper.
If you're only going on what's on screen, maybe, but there's a lot of stuff here that is suggestive, like when he forces his girlfriend to eat the dog biscuit.
Sure.
I think you're supposed to understand that the dog biscuit is so they can suggest that he does this stuff with his penis without getting an X rating, you know?
Sure.
Like if he did that with his penis, you would say he's a rapist, right?
Yeah.
Like he shoves his erect penis at an uncomfortable girl's mouth until she opens it and then jams it in.
Of course.
So I think he's probably a rapist. And that's why I guess maybe that's the disconnect. I'm reading between his lines and saying that he's probably had a whole history of inappropriate things, and he's taken advantage of this woman and a girlfriend and abuser. Maybe she's raped her. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean their relationship is fucked up on all kinds of levels.
And there was also like, you know, when her friend his girlfriend / victim was at the hospital with her stepfather and Dawn, and Dawn was. And she was looking at Dawn and her father and like how affectionate they were being, and there was like this kind of like longing, like maybe the reason she's with this horrible person is because she came up in a horrible environment, or her father didn't
know, I'm sure.
Or maybe father was gone, and you know, I did armchair psychological other analysis and buzzwords, but I mean,
well, like, I wonder about like the parentage here. For Brad, I think, is the brother. Like, where are the parents? What is going on here? Like, he's hitting bongs in his room.
Well, and also,
he's having sex with his underage girlfriend, I'm sure.
Sure. Like,
he's got nude women all over his walls. He's blasting his metal, keeping everybody up at night.
Did you talk about the bong rips?
Yeah,
bong rips.
Sure, like... These parents are completely absent kid's life.
It is weird in the setup because, like, Dawn came from the same family, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at one point, and I thought, well, maybe that's the thing. Like, they're showing how extremes of acting out from this rigid... But then you find out their parents, like, they don't really give a shit about her purity stuff. That's all her.
Uh-huh.
And then I started thinking, like, well, is that because she deep down knows she's got fangs up her cooter? And so she's...
Well, her brother is older, so, I mean, she could see kind of the stuff that he does to act out and rebel against that in her own way by being the polar opposite.
She knew something was up with her because, like, when she started to touch herself at one point in the movie, she had that flash of the scorpion mouth, and I feel like that somehow deep down that was, I mean, obviously it's a metaphor with the way we treat feminine sexuality and...
Sure.
How women are sometimes raised to be uncomfortable about their bodies and their own sexuality, but also, like, if I'm just taking literally in universe, you know, she knew what was up when her brother and her were in a pool and he got his tip of his finger bit off. So I think that, you know, subconsciously, that's where this purity stuff. She's kind of uncomfortable about sex and she wants a reason, or she wants to have a cause, or I don't know, something more than just I'm afraid of my vagina to hang her hat on.
Yeah, it's definitely subconscious. They make a point of saying that both of those kids have kind of suppressed that memory.
Yeah. This is the point in the podcast where I now feel self-conscious for like the sixth different way, because now I finally realize how absurd it is to have two dudes talking about this movie.
Julie.
No, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, if you expected anything else.
No. Yeah.
At least we're not rapists.
She's like, the one thing she said was wondered if we'd be uncomfortable. And like, I guess I'm not uncomfortable. Like, yeah, sure. I saw enough severed dicks today to last a lifetime. But I didn't find I thought it was all funny and like kind of justice porn, because I said, like, I have nothing. It's weird. Dawn is kind of like the monster in a horror film, preying on sexually active teenagers, or in this case rapists, but like, I don't find her a scary monster because I have nothing to fear from her.
Sure, you're not a rapist.
I'm not a rapist. Yeah. I wouldn't even be rapey or anything like that. So, like, go on. And at the end, it's almost like a superhero origin story.
Right, yeah.
She's going to go around and unman any person who's a rapist.
Yeah.
It's just
you can see the change in her face, right? She understands, like, oh
yeah, she's
oh, this is kind of
the
empowering
Batman or the Snatch Woman,
because we do see that over the course of the movie she can have a relationship in which you don't bite the penis off the male.
Yeah,
right? She has had sex before where no cocks came off.
Although it's funny because she also was drugged in that experience, but.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So was it her will? Like, was it that she wanted that to happen, or was it that she was drugged?
I thought it would be interesting if they remade this film and like midway through what you think is a romantic sex, the dick got cut off, because it's almost a magic defense. Like, it knows it knows that you're being raped, even if your conscious doesn't, because you're drugged or you're unconscious or whatever.
It felt to me like she had some kind of control over it.
Oh, yeah.
In this movie.
But is it like one of those things like breathing where I can hold my breath, but if I pass out, my body's not going to let me die?
It's reflexively.
So, yeah, like you
snapping
can...
snapping cocks off.
You can grind down and you bear down or whatever and bite a dick off, but like if you're... Because isn't that the first time when the guy hit her head against the cave wall and she passed out? He got his dick bit off. Or did she... She came to and started resisting, though.
Yeah, she did.
Okay, well, fuck. That blows my theory.
Yeah, and then the second time she was drugged and on alcohol.
Autonomous vagina vaginal defense system.
Yeah.
The AVDS.
And then the doctor thing is weird. Like, does she realize that this guy is a huge pervert, or does she think it's part of the procedure? Like,
well, I think there's a point where she was like gay because she's never been before. And like, you know, I've heard that it's not exactly happy, happy, fun times at the gynecologist. So she's expecting some discomfort. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, clearly... I mean, I don't care if you're a doctor. If someone says stop, you should, you know, even if the norm part of you should stop what you're doing and be like, what's going on? But he didn't, so...
Got his fingers bit.
The vaginal defense system leapt into action, or snapped into action. Yeah.
I think her superhero name would be Teeth, I think.
Teeth?
Yeah.
The Chomper?
The Chomper?
The Toothy Coochie?
I don't... Is the Wolverine called the Wolverine, or is he just Wolverine?
I think he's Wolverine. Okay. I think he's been referred to as the Wolverine,
though. Yeah, that's confusing. So she could be the Chomper, the Teeth.
The Teeth. I want to talk about, because there's so many clever things here, like the way they frame stuff, and there's so much vaginal imagery. Like, just like, hey, look at this tree. It's shaped like a vagina. Hey, look at this whatever. It's shaped like a vagina. Look at these spotlights. We're going to frame it down low so the spotlights hit people's crotches, and it looks like there's starbursts coming out of them. I thought it was interesting when she's Google searching female genital mutation that was, you know, suggestive of female genital mutilation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the creepy call and response at the purity meeting. There's a lot of just really effective... stuff in the way they stage this that makes it I don't know. Like, they cover a lot of ground very economically.
Yeah, and it all feels of a piece, too, right? Like, mm-hmm. all of this stuff you can see is kind of wrapped up in the same kind of mental space. It's weird. And a lot of that comes from religion. Like, I noticed, you know, this chastity stuff, this promise ring stuff is all tied up in religion.
Right.
I mean, they're as far as I know, there are no secular groups like that. They're like, hey, don't have sex because why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Because, like, so is it religion's fault or is it this broadly the patriarchy's? Like, what is, why was women's sex? I mean, you guys are thinking sociologically and historically. Why has women's sexuality been something that has been attempted to be controlled throughout the ages? Like, you know, women don't want sex, men are randy rapists, and it's the woman's job to put off the man. The man's job is to try to fuck as many women as possible, and the women, you know what I'm saying? Like, why?
No, I don't have the context for this. I don't have the...
No, I'm just...
I'm ignorant of 90%
I'm not trying to trap you here. I'm asking open-ended questions, and, like, I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I don't...
So it's like, I can't imagine comment. A science fiction world with no religion. But you still have the sexual dysmorphia where, you know, the men are much longer, larger, stronger, etc. than the females of the species. Would systems of control of women's sexuality still be put in place in a secular context? Good God. Sexual.
I don't know, man.
A sexual content?
Yeah, context? I don't know if the movie wants to go that deep. The movie is...
You know who does? This podcaster.
No. I don't want to. I don't want to because I think the movie, you know, it...
Sure, it's talking about...
It mentions these things, but yeah. It doesn't care to contemplate them in any kind of deep way.
Mm-hmm.
It's about popping off cocks and showing the gore shooting out mm-hmm. and every once in a while making an allegory, you know?
Right.
It's not about sociology and history. It's
well, let me ask you, Costco. You know who also wants to go there? One Julie Webster,
oh, no.
Who paid us to commission this podcast. So there, she was curious as to, from a male perspective, why this legend came about. And quoting her, "Wouldn't men not want vicious vaginas? Did it come about only because of women spreading the tale to frighten away rapists?" That, I guess, is my question. Hmm. Like, I was trying to ignore the religious aspect of it, because what is, if men want sex, which I take it that's a granted.
Sure.
And women want sex.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we develop this system of chastity and control of sex?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
And it's not just like...
But yet...
What is the myth? The myth in here is a little bit more complicated, right? There's something about, like, men returning to, like, populate the womb from which they sprang or something like that. It's got two sides to it, the female and the male,
yeah.
Mixed up in this vagina dentata myth.
Well, I felt like, so they get, there was, there's something where they're talking about the myth of vagina dentata, where you have a, you know, this woman who's a devouring of the male essence and a male hero that then has to conquer the female by devouring her.
Yeah.
That just seems straight up like, you know, if you got an uppity woman in the village, you got a, you know, maybe rape her into submission kind of scary thing. But the other, I think, is a quote by Freud. It's like some kind of Oedipal complex, like, you know, that a boy wants to subconsciously kill his father and fuck his mother,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, return to the source from which he sprung. And that's like, I don't know. I feel like that's just, a few hundred million years of evolution making us want to have sex because that's how you, promote your genes. I don't think it needs to be any more psychosexual. The psychosexual aspect is the control mechanism. Why did this system come about? And I guess, like, you know, maybe it was to promote strong bonds with families. Maybe it was to keep us from murdering each other out of jealous rages. I don't know why these systems of controls came about, but they did come about for some reason.
Sure. I'm not qualified in any way to speak to that.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And also maybe it's because it's not like there aren't cultures that have like masculine notions of virtuosity. Like, you know, you got the concept of chivalry and things like that. So it's like, it could be that it's one of those things where it's like, hey, boys, don't rape girls because you might get your dick bit off. Like, it's a cautionary tale to try to keep them in behaving the way people say is decent, to keep them from committing crimes. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to talk about that maybe relates to this is the kind of what I consider incredibly... I thought this movie's great. I thought this movie is a solid, quality, well-made, funny movie. But its score, especially on the public scoring of IMDb, is pretty abysmal. It's less than 5 out of 10, which if you know anything about IMDb is like crazy low.
Hmm.
Professionally, it seems like it has a much better reputation. What did you say its thermometer rating was, or freshometer?
79% on the tomato meter, tomato meter.
Do you think that there is a subset of the male population who might be, on the sorry side of the rapist non-rapist divide?
Hits a little too close to home for him.
Yeah. Like, would that explain, and also, like, you know, if you talk about the mid, there's also, no small amount of women that kind of promote some of these, or could this be, like, you know, the purity type Christians that are organizing downvotes on this because it's literally offensive? It's interesting. Like, it's
I can see this movie being very confusing for people because, like, there is just enough there to go, oh, well, this has a deeper meaning. I was just expecting a gore horror romp.
Mm-hmm.
I went into this thing expecting something different, and so I didn't like it. Yeah. Or being a man who maybe this hits a little too close for and kind of lashing out against that and saying I didn't like this thing.
Like, imagine if you're a dude that, like, maybe in high school employed some of these tactics on women successfully, but you didn't consider yourself a rapist, and now these guys are getting their dicks bit off. Yeah. That's got to be uncomfortable.
And this movie's essentially telling you that you are.
Right.
Yeah, I could see a backlash against that, but I think, like, the tone of the movie is surprising, considering the subject of the movie, right? Like, you go in, you think, oh, it's a horror movie, and there's a woman who has vagina, teeth, and is biting people's dicks off.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a ridiculous premise on the face of it. And when you go in thinking, this is going to be Birdemic, or this is going to be something ridiculous, and it's not, I could find that, I think the public would find that more confusing than maybe a critic who could recalibrate.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, the tone, I think, is interesting because, like, it's not just, you're treating a very serious subject with arguably too light a touch.
Perhaps.
But you're also, you're like, too funny to be a horror. Like, so if you're a survivor of rape, I can imagine this is not a funny experience. Like, this is,
sure.
Could possibly be a traumatic experience to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's, I'm like, so I guess that's a question of who is this movie made for?
Yeah.
Is this made for people that are not rapists and do not buy into rape, to the culture of rape, to kind of, like, you know, blow off some steam?
Hmm. I feel like it's made for fans of the horror and gore genre.
Like, rapists
who are maybe just a little too intelligent for the horror and gore fests.
Because
most of the horror gore stuff doesn't have this level of subtext or even text.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
I mean, it's not very well hidden in this movie.
But it's kind of, it's weird because it's like, but I imagine there'd be another subset of rape survivors who might see this as empowering.
Yeah, like the ending, I think, is fairly empowering for this girl. Like,
well, so it's
she's
like,
a genetic freak, but at the same time, she has this weapon.
But that's an incredibly dark premise, that I am going to subject myself to be raped hundreds, perhaps thousands of times, and leave a grim harvest of severed organs in my wake.
But it's also
like
it's also helping other women around the globe, right? Like, for everyone she decapitates, for lack of a better word, that's one less person who is prone to doing these things and can do them.
But I mean, I'm trying to imagine a darker superhero here. Let me try. How about a nurse who can strangle a baby that she knows is going to die because of some congenital defect to save another baby? Like, that's her superpower. She can see that a infant's heart's fucked up and it's going to die, so she can kill it before it does. And if she does, that spares the life of another child.
Okay.
Like, that's a pretty fucking dark superpower. I'm not sure that, like, you know, like, I mean, to me, my advice for Dawn is, if you're going to go down this path, just buy a gun. And as soon as the advances start, blow their head off. Like,
sure, yeah.
You don't have to let yourself
take the abuse.
You don't
have
to take the abuse up front. But yeah, I mean, that's
there are mixed messages, like, all over this movie. Right. Mixed like conflicts in tone, conflicts in, like,
yeah.
Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? How bad is it? Like, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, like I said, I can see where a lot of people would be turned off. Like, anyone who's a rapist, anyone, or, like, a person. The other thing is, like, I think there's a lot of people who go through life, and they've had healthy experiences, and they've had no reason to look into the, rape and culture and stuff, and would watch this and be like, man, this is a shitty movie. It says all men are rapists, and they're turned off from that perspective. Yeah. So I was like, I can see that, like, in the, obviously, like, fundamental Christians are going to hate it. They're not probably be prone to watching sexualized horror, but, you know, to the extent that it makes fun of their rings and their purity dances and stuff, then.
Yeah. No, I mean, this movie hits on, fires on all cylinders for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of at the nexus of the things that I like.
And it is, like, I'm going to try, because Julie wanted to tell us what she thought what the funniest scene was, but she didn't want to spoil anything, because she knew, I think,
okay,
neither of us had seen it, although you said you'd have.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you lied to me about the tooth vagina. the other thing is, I think, so what did you think the funniest scene is? I'm going to try to guess, and she can tell us whether we got it right or not.
The funniest scene.
I think it's when...
I think it might be the first dick chomp.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. Funny? Like, I didn't find myself laughing.
I think when the dog ate
in that way.
Her stepbrother Schlong.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah,
is
yeah,
the
yeah.
Runaway funniest. Especially,
as he's staring on in horror. Yeah.
And trying to, like, plead, like, you know, because the dog's got it. Like,
and moments ago, you had seen him yell at him and command him back into the cage.
Sure.
And now the dog's like, nah, I got a piece of meat in my mouth. I'm gonna go to town.
And then it spits out the, I don't know what you call that, the Prince Albert.
Albert's
piercing. And it just clunks to the floor. Oh, God.
Which, not my choice of piercings if I was going to get one. That's, I couldn't do it. Like, hats off to you if that's what you want to do, but whew, no.
Yeah, there's some shocking, have you seen this, the penis split?
I've seen the tongue split, but not the penis split.
So apparently this is a body modification thing, dudes, the erectile tissue conveniently is bifurcated.
Okay.
And you've got a hole running down, so you essentially...
They're double-donging it.
You essentially cut your dick in half, and you let it heal in the middle, and then you've got two functional halves of the penis that you can still piss through, and you can, as long as you can grab the two halves and hold them together long enough to penetrate, you can still have normal, I have,
but what are the
sex.
Advantages? Like, you've told me all the reasons in which it's not a disadvantage, but what are the actual advantages of doing that?
I don't know why anybody would, like, make themselves look like a lion, like put whiskers on themselves or
tattoo their
horns
face
underneath and file their teeth to points, but some people,
like Lizard Man or whatever,
it must be some way to deal with some thing going on, like if I don't know, because like I said, I don't want to armchair psychologist these people, but
yeah,
it must speak to something with them. Maybe it's a unique experience,
I guess.
Like, why do dudes shove metal rods down their urethra? I couldn't explain that to you. But
that's
some dudes that just hits the spot for them.
That's fine. It's the permanence of
the
body mod, you know? It's
like if you jam the rod down like 1,000 times and it's the best, and like, man, I just love it when the inside of my urethra gets stimulated. Like, I know, I'll split it open so it's open to the world for all. Like,
there you go.
You just don't want to look back.
Then you put a piece of like 700 grit sandpaper between the halves.
It's like,
go to town.
Wear a pipe, you know? Yeah, you wear underwear made out of pipe cleaners. I don't know what you do.
Okay, so maybe the Prince Albert is not so extreme.
Yeah, there you go. And then, like, I've, you know, like, I think I've also read up on some dudes that just cut their dick off.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Not castration, just like cut the dick. So you just have a little stub there that you pee through.
Yeah.
Don't know why you do that too.
There's some people out there who are into some serious shit.
And see, that's the thing. Like, I wonder, this is something I've been pondering of late. Like, where do you draw the line between mental illness and acceptable variations of human psychology?
Oh, sure. What's normal, right?
Yeah. Because that's like 50 years ago, homosexuality was a mental illness.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think like if someone wants to go to a doctor and have both of their arms cut off, like, okay, you need psychological counseling. Someone goes and says, I want my dick split in two. That's a acceptable lifestyle choice. To me, doing physical harm to your body, but then, like, you know, you got people running out of plugs in their ears, and, like, it's all, pierced earrings is a harm to your body, but that's
sure. Okay. So it's fast food, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like.
I don't, like, some people strap boards to kids' heads so they're flat, and some people stretch out their necks, and some people cramp up their shoes, and they cripple themselves in all kinds of ways, and it's all bizarre. Where do you draw the line, man?
Yeah, if they're not, like, pressured into it
from
external forces, how do you say that's not normal or...
I don't know.
Or that's weird, you shouldn't do that.
I don't know.
I don't know
either. Would the world be better if every woman came equipped with a set of teeth in her vagina?
Maybe. Maybe. Like, as long as they had control of it.
Well, yeah.
And it wasn't just like, oh, the teeth control me.
Yeah.
Not I control the teeth. That would be...
Although that's, you know, ask the spider kingdom and the praying mantis kingdom. Like, it's a 50-50 proposition. I'm going to have sex, but I might get eaten. Like, that would be an interesting psychological game to play as a mammal with higher cognitive, the actual fully grasp that, you know.
Yeah. This conversation is going weird places.
I need sequels. This movie just scratched the surface, Jim. I want, there's so many other angles to... Like, seriously, I could see a world where there was, like, you know, like, if we got three fucking human centipedes, we can't get three teeth?
You're right.
What are we, some town in Kentucky? All we got is one tooth? We get, no, we get at least three?
There's no justice in this world.
Look at that. Do you see
that many human
centipedes? You see that shot I made at the fuckers living 20 miles to the south of me?
They're going to get you, man. They all have teeth in their vagina. They're coming after you.
Have to figure out to cross to Ohio for river first. I'm kind of if Mitchell Lichtenstein, Luxembourg,
get on it.
You're still time. You're only like what, 55, 60? I need teeth too, and I need, maybe you can call the third one just tooth.
Yeah,
to subvert everyone's expectations. T3 to toothening. I don't know, but I feel like that. Yeah, we need to see her life as a superhero, and we need to see the far-flung future where every woman has teeth in their vagina.
Yeah. I think maybe Neal Stephenson. Like. Neal Stephenson's real good at that far-flung future stuff. Mm. Maybe he can get in there and write that.
Sevenses?
Seven Eves, yeah.
Seven Eves. So he can write the seventh sequel.
Yeah, 5,000 years in the future when all humans have teeth in their vaginas.
Because it's an adaptation. You have a rape culture long enough, and every woman's going to come equipped.
I mean, there might not even be humans anymore. It might just be teeth vagina monsters. Like, the humans will morph into
Jesus, I didn't know we're going to go into open misogyny in this podcast, calling women tooth vagina monsters. Like, Jesus.
No, I said there wouldn't be human beings. There are no women. There are just vaginas with teeth.
Or people, like, especially if it's an uncontrolled reflex, like, the human race just die out.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Mm.
But then that's the parasite killing the host. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
You'd have to. So that's there you go back to where.
Some kind of symbiosis.
There you go. It's like a 50-50 proposition.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, do you feel lucky today, punk? Are you going to try to, are you going to have tried? It might be the last time.
Tooth, starring Clint Eastwood. All right. Well, I think we've
sponsored by Viagra. If that's the case, I guarantee it.
I think we've mined the juice out of this movie.
I'm uncomfortable talking about any kind of fluids or bodily functions in this context. So the juice can stay where it's at. I'm not going to mine in it. I thank you, Julie, for extremely entertaining way to spend the Wednesday.
Yeah.
Got me thinking a lot of different ways. And if you would like to commission the podcast and make Jim and I squirm, you can do so at baldmove.com/shop. There's a lot of different ways to do it. We've got some community commissions where some fans have voted on some popular choices that you can pool your money together in $10 increments to all share in the reward and effort of podcasting, or you can do what Julie did. And it's like, I'm going to do this thing solo. I'm going to do this solo mode. And yeah, it's all on baldmove.com/shop.
Cool. Check it out.
Thanks, Julie.